Today on the Music City Audible, the biggest takeaways from the Titans offseason. What have we learned about this team that we maybe didn't expect back in January? Let's get to it! Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me as always, the managing editor at TitanSize.com. Go read his stuff, the publisher for NFL Draft on SI. Go read that stuff too, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Fresh off yesterday's episode was a 53-man roster projection. Had a lot of fun with that one. We're pivoting today to another fun, fresh topic. The biggest takeaways from the Tennessee Titans offseason. With mandatory minicamp in the books, OTAs obviously coming before that. We're on a little break, a six-week break leading to training camp, which we now know the rookies will be reporting on the 23rd, the veterans joining them on the 28th. Now feels like a good time. Sit back, take a bird's eye view. What are our biggest takeaways from the offseason? Some of it is roster-based. Some of it is philosophical. Like, what's going to be their philosophies on offense and defense? Got some fun stuff to jump in today with the Audible Army.
So let's start with number one, which is the belief in Cam Ward. From top to bottom, this organization has shown their belief in Cam Ward through both their words and their actions. I mean, these people cannot stop talking about how much they believe in Cam Ward. We heard all the press conferences throughout OTAs and minicamp with all of his teammates going up and talking about how much they love him. His coaches going up and talking about how much they respect his approach and his will to be great. You got Robert Saleh going on the OTP, which came out, I believe, over the weekend or on Friday, maybe, talking about, you know, echoing some of the same things he said, that the Tennessee Titans are in great hands. You also have the roster moves that they made. Investing in Wandale Robinson, drafting Carnell Tate, not really addressing the offensive line as much as we all wanted them to, which is also an indication of their belief in Cam Ward's ability to get rid of the ball quickly and mitigate pressure himself. So from top to bottom, everything that this team, this organization has done over the course of this offseason has shown their belief in Cam Ward. Even going out and hiring a former head coach and Brian Daboll to be the offensive coordinator is part of that, because you could argue like, oh, if they really believed in him, they'd hire an offensive-minded head coach. But they did the next best thing. They hired the head coach that they thought was the best candidate, and then they got somebody that can captain the offensive side of the ball as if he were the head coach of that department. And a guy, by the way, who really wanted to trade up and draft Cam Ward last year. So I think the belief in Cam Ward shown by this organization this offseason is as high as it could possibly be.
You missed a prime opportunity, by the way, to say with number one, we're starting with number one, Cam Ward. Oh, the wow. Belief in Cam Ward. Yeah, you're rusty today. Bummer. The belief in Cam Ward. I mean, look, I'm with you. It's not just words, it's actions. It's paying Wandale Robinson $70 million in free agency. It's pulling the first mini surprise on NFL draft night, because we've kind of forgotten about that by now. But people were surprised when they took Carnell Tate at number four overall over Arvell Reese and whoever else people thought they might, you know, whatever direction they might go in. They wanted a pass catcher that could grow with Cam Ward. They paid Daniel Bellinger somewhat handsomely also to come out and help this offense. And, of course, landing a big fish at offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll. I think it's very comforting to me that one of our takeaways is that this franchise has full-fledged belief in the quarterback, Cam Ward, to be a franchise guy. And it's not just blind hope and faith. Well, you know, it's not, let's go get Calvin Ridley because we really hope Will Levis is a guy. You know, this feels different. They've actually seen him play a lot, you know, obviously as a starting quarterback for a full season. And they say, hey, we know, you know, he wasn't in a great situation last year. We were still rebuilding. It is what it is. I inherited the coaching staff. And he navigated all that and looked good while doing it. We believe we've got a guy. Now let's go surround him.
I mean, Robert Saleh said it when he took the job, that one of the reasons he took the job is because he believed that they had the quarterback position solidified here. The biggest thing he was missing in New York, the thing that led to them signing Aaron Rodgers, which led to Aaron Rodgers taking over the team and Woody Johnson eventually being fed up and ultimately costing Robert Saleh his job. He doesn't believe that that's an issue here. They didn't bring in anyone to compete with Cam Ward for the starting role. Not that we expected them to, but if they didn't believe in him, they might have tried to bring in a Kyler Murray, a Tua Tagovailoa, somebody out there who has been a starter. They didn't even have any interest, not even for a second, in doing that because Mike Borgonzi and everyone from him and down believes in this quarterback. Struggled a little bit in OTAs because Brian Daboll was challenging him with situations, throwing looks at him, and he's learning a new offense with new teammates. But by minicamp, you saw him starting to get a handle on it, developing chemistry with Wan'Dale Robinson, throwing, you know, having great practice, not great practice, but having productive practices 2 days in a row, throwing touchdowns on one day, not throwing touchdowns on the second day, but also throwing a touchdown that the refs didn't give them for some reason. Anyway, I think we all believe in Cam Ward. We got to see it. It's got to happen. You know, this is the time to take that big step. Statistically speaking, there's not a lot of reasons for confidence, but if you watch him play football, you watch the film, you understand why Titans fans are so excited about Cam Ward and why the coaching staff is too. Second takeaway, Justin, this is going to be a very different looking defense, not just because they're changing fronts from a 3-4 to a 4-3, but they're changing the entire philosophy of this defense. This fast and violent thing that Robert Saleh is bringing here starts up front. It starts with the attacking front that they are there. This defensive front doesn't anchor against the run and plug holes anymore. No, they get upfield to try to get in the backfield, sack the quarterback, stop the ball carrier in the getting into the backfield, playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Not something that the previous coaching staff believed in, but a huge point of emphasis for this group.
Well, it feels like everything's going to be different, right? It's yes, 3-4 to 4-3 primary defense, although we know, again, nickel's the new base, I like to say, but 3-4 to a 4-3, the way that they play, the way that they attack the pocket. Personnel, I mean, Jermaine Johnson, John Franklin Myers, Jacob Martin, Jordan Elliott, Solomon Thomas, all these guys they brought in, Keldrick Falk, obviously, who either all have history with Robert Saleh, or I guess Keldrick Falk, I'll say, is a clone of Eric Armstead. So maybe, you know, you could kind of group him in with that crew, if you will, of the new acquisitions. But the personnel is different. The way they're going to play is different. The way they attack is different. The way they're going to rotate is different, right? You're not going to be seeing, I don't think, Jeffrey Simmons play number 98, playing 98% of snaps, if you will, going back to the number game we're playing today. So, monumental differences on the defensive side of the ball, but really specifically with the defensive line. Belief in Cam Ward, well, they also believe in Robert Saleh. They went out and got all these guys that have played for him, and of course he's got the keys to the defense with an alongside coordinator Gus Bradley, and it's going to look very, very different. I don't know. It's fine. One of my buddies who covers the Jets and is a Jets fan, and you know, obviously he doesn't like Robert Saleh, just like we don't like Brian Callahan. You don't really like a head coach when it didn't work out. It's just typical of fan stuff, right? And he said to me, he never cared about stopping the run at all. I'm not surprised he traded to Vondre Sweat and the style of defense that he plays. They want to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's a different situation. I mean, even Jets fans acknowledge that Robert Saleh was pretty screwed.
Not all of them. The point is some of them hate him, which is natural. Okay. They weren't good.
Brian Callahan screwed the Titans. Robert Saleh got screwed
by
the Jets. Let's be real. I think they're different. I think Jets fans are just a salty bunch of people, and they're going to have something to be salty about after week one. Boom! I said it. Yeah, I think, look, you and I have been clamoring. We've been doing this podcast for years, Justin. This is episode 16, actually. We've been doing a lot. We've done a lot of shows. I can't count the number of times that we've talked about how the best defenses in football have a defensive line group that comes at you in waves. I remember talking about the Eagles going to the Super Bowl. They didn't even win with you, about how many defensive linemen they had and how they rotated these guys. Just nonstop waves of defensive linemen. The Titans finally have something that will resemble that. Now, do they have a premier edge rusher? Maybe not. But do they need one with Jeffrey Simmons, the highest paid defensive tackle in football, and John Franklin Myers in the middle, eating up blocks and giving everybody else a one-on-one opportunity? I think they're going to be just fine. I think this defensive front is going to be the heart and soul of this team, and it's going to be ferocious, and I'm excited to see this rotation in action. Let's take our first break. We'll come back. We got two more big takeaways from the Titans offseason. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, everyone. All right, moving along here, another big takeaway. And this one, not on the positive side of things. The other two takeaways, we're happy about those. This one concerns me. The offensive line remains the biggest question mark on this roster. Now, if you had told me that back in January, that, yeah, fast forward 6 months, the offensive line is still going to be the biggest question mark, I would say, why didn't they address that more in the offseason? Well, they did what they could. The center market got away from them. Kevin Zeitler, we don't know what, if he doesn't want to play for the Titans or if he's just waiting for a better opportunity or if they don't want him to play for the Titans, we don't know. The offensive line, I've said this many times, Justin, on this show, it's too early to panic, but it's not too early to be concerned because the right guard is either going to be a very inexperienced young player or somebody experienced that we've seen not be very good in terms of not being up to snuff as a quality starter. Yeah. The center is a journeyman backup who was elevated for four games last year with the New York Giants, played well in those four games, but still a journeyman throughout his career. Now he's slotted in as your starting center. Even J.C. Latham concerns me. Am I hopeful that he can take another step and like develop into a franchise right tackle? Of course I am. Still concerns me. Even Dan Moore, who I think was solid enough. You know, the advanced metrics are not kind to Dan Moore in terms of pressures allowed, sacks allowed, blown block rate. These numbers look really bad for Dan Moore, who's getting paid over $20 million a year. There's only one guy that I feel really great about. It's Peter Skoronski, who's probably next in line to sign an extension, follow the Jeffrey Simmons path and sign an extension this offseason. But overall, look, can it work? Sure, it can work. Does a lot have to go right? Yeah. So I think that to me, there's no bigger question mark. And it's not even close. It's like the only question mark to me is, can this offensive line protect Cam Ward? Or are they going to be this team's Achilles heel and the reason that the offense just frankly isn't good again?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with everything you said. I mean, obviously the interior is the biggest concern. Austin Schlotman, I actually wrote an article on this for tomorrow it publishes. 7-year pro, I believe, 18 career starts in 7 years, four of them for the Giants last year. Former undrafted free agent, obviously the connection with Carmen Brasillo, the O-line coach, and Brian Daboll, the big reason why he's here as a starting center. Maybe a little bit the Titans mismanaging the center market, you know, with bad luck with Connor McGovern not hitting the market, maybe Tyler Bedash kind of coming off it a little earlier. How you say his name. Tyler Bedash coming off the market a little earlier.
Biotis,
that's it. Coming off the market maybe earlier than they expected. Who knows what happened at center, but they end up settling on Austin Schlotman. The right guard, you covered it. I mean, Slater, sixth round sophomore who was essentially redshirted last year. Cordell Volson, a 48 game starter who just hasn't been very good. And then I like that we've spent a lot of time on the offseason focusing on the interior.
Fifth round, by the way, Slater.
Sorry, fifth round for Jackson Slater. I like that you brought up the tackles because with J.C. Latham, you know, nursing an injury right now and missing a majority of minicamp or all of minicamp, concerning based on what happened to him last year where he had the injury that derailed him. And then you didn't even mention the swing tackle spot, where on this show yesterday, we projected a guy who's not even on the team to be that position. We signed a guy in free agency to be the swing tackle because that's how worried we are. So, yeah, obviously the O-line is, you know, the biggest concern this team has coming into camp. We'll learn more about it once the pads come on.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing else we can do right now. We can cross our fingers, check the news reports every day, and hope the Titans sign somebody to back up the tackles. But, like, even the depth on the interior doesn't make me feel great. I mean, Fernando Carmona, Pat Coogan, these are rookies. Or it's the guy we argued about yesterday, Andre James, who, I mean, you're right to say he's not the player he was 2 years ago, even if, it, like, mentally he might be the best suited guy to step in as a backup center because he won't, you know, he'll know the offense and can point out the protections and stuff. That doesn't mean he's going to be effective as a blocker. And so, yeah, the starters are questionable. The depth is questionable. The unit is very questionable. Last takeaway, Justin, what you got for us?
I'm going with the running back situation with Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears being called the bell cows by Robert Saleh. And this is probably a surprising one to our audience. I don't know that you'd all consider it like a huge takeaway, but I want to take us all the way back to the pre-draft when everyone thought Jeremiah Love was, and I'm pointing at Graver, I don't know if you saw me pointing at him, was the surefire choice at number four overall. And obviously, Titans didn't have a chance to take him. He went number three. But we're pretty convinced that they would have taken Carnell Tate, even if Love was available. And taking you all the way back pre-draft, as I said, they told us how happy they were with Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. And we wrote it off as coach speak. Ah, they're taking Jeremiah Love number four at the smoke screen. Well, they are really happy with Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. Because even though they didn't have the opportunity to take Jeremiah Love, they didn't take a running back at all until day three in Nicholas Singleton out of Penn State. They didn't do anything notable in free agency. And no, Michael Carter is not notable. And then at OTAs or minicamp, I forget which press conference it was, Robert Saleh called Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears the bell cows of the running back room and said Nick Singleton is essentially way behind them. He's got to earn reps. We love our veteran running backs. I'm calling this a major takeaway from the offseason because we didn't agree. We thought they were going to do Jeremiah Love. We thought they might go after Breece Hall if he hit the market. Like, we really thought there was something big in store at running back. There wasn't at all. And they obviously have the utmost confidence in Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears.
Look, if we like to pat ourselves on the back on this show, we do. We also like to admit when we were wrong about something. And there's nobody been more wrong about anything than I was about the Titans drafting Jeremiah Love. It was March 31st at the owners' meetings when Robert Saleh was asked about, you know, a running game, having a running game to help out quarterback Cam Ward. And he said he was really happy with the Titans running back room. And you're totally right, Justin. I came on here and said, he's just saying that. He doesn't want people to know how much they love Jeremiah Love. And then, yeah, calling them the bell cows the other day, like that means something to me, as they say. And I think these two guys are going to, like, they're going to be part of the engine of this off that makes the offense go. Obviously, Cam Ward is going to be the other part of that. And I think, you know, this Titans team could be in a situation where they're passing a lot because they're trailing. But if the defense, you know, is a plays better than expected, which I don't think is totally out of the question, it could be a situation where they're struggling through a lot of low scoring games as the offense finds its footing. I do think the offense could open the year kind of struggling. Again, the offensive line has to gel. Wide receivers and quarterback have to get on the same page. New playbook, new system, new OC. Like, it's a lot of new, and new can take time to get used to. But the running backs are not new. The running backs are who they have been the last 3 years, and I think that the Titans offensive staff could lean on those guys. So yeah, I totally agree. Huge takeaway. The Titans love their running backs. Because to me, we thought they were gonna overhaul this room, and they did barely anything to it. So yeah, huge takeaway there.
And I'm so curious to see how Brian Daboll really approaches this offense. What's gonna be the run pass split? I keep wondering and teasing in my mind that they might be pass happier than some people realize, and that could be a really exciting offense. And I go to that based on the lack of activity at running back and, you know, back to point number one, how much they invested in the passing attack, right? Bringing in Wandell Robinson for $70 million, drafting Carnell Tate at number four. Heck, I guess Bellinger is an investment in both, maybe the run game and the pass game, because he's a good blocker. But paying him $8 million a year, keeping Calvin Ridley instead of cutting him, right? Like agreeing to pay some of that money, hoping for steps forward from DK and Io Manor. Like, I think this might be an exciting passing attack. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but if they really believe in Cam Ward, which again, they obviously do, they don't have, as much as we say they have confidence in the running back, they don't have a dynamic, you know, elite running back in the room. They might have a dynamic young quarterback that they're trying to develop into the face of the franchise. Yes, Pollard and Spears are going to carry the workload, but I really, and they're going to be the bell cows, to quote Robert Saleh. But I really do think this offense, you know, is going to live and die with Cam Ward this season.
Yeah, and I think these two running backs are going to catch a lot of passes, by the way, because I think the offensive line, again, you know, it all ties together. They're going to throw the ball a lot, but the offensive line is not going to protect for very long. So Cam Ward's going to have to get the ball out of his hands quickly, which is going to mean a lot of checkdowns to Spears and Pollard or to these tight ends, you know, these two tight ends that Brian Daboll is going to run a lot more two tight end sets than the Titans ran last year. And that's going to help out the run game because, you know, you get different personnel on the field that are confusing the defense, misdirection, all that jazz. All right, that's it. Those are our four biggest takeaways of the offseason. We will be back again tomorrow with another episode covering the Tennessee Titans. Topic TBD. Let us know in the comments what you want us to talk about. And until then, y'all stay safe out there. And tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.